I don't know how often you think about the afterlife or eternity. What's going to happen when you die? Probably don't think about that a whole lot. Don't want to think about dying. But if there's one important detail that everybody's got to be on board with today, it's that we're all going to die. So, are you ready for that? What's going to happen when you die? There were three guys at a funeral, and it was a friend of theirs. They heard the beautiful eulogy at the funeral, and afterwards at the reception, they were just chit-chatting and said, you know, hey, what do you want to be said about you at your funeral? And the first one was a doctor, and he said, man, I hope people say that I was dedicated to my job and that I vested in my patients and that, you know, I saved a lot of lives. And the next guy said, man, I hope people just realize I was a family man, that I love my family and I spent time with my kids and my wife. And the third guy said, I hope they say, look, he's moving. That's a pretty dumb joke, but that actually is happening more than you realize. 13 million Americans today say they've had a near-death experience, meaning that their heart stopped, there was no brain waves, they died. And many of these have been documented. There's actually a movie out right now called Breakthrough, and it's done very, very well. I know many of you have seen it. Go see it. It's a Christian movie about a young boy that died, and God brought him back. So if you're struggling with the idea, maybe there's some people in here that are still wrestling with the idea that there's something after this life, there's a really good book I want to point you to if you're interested in diving in, you're curious about this. A pastor in Austin named John Burke, he pastors Gateway Church up there, wrote a book called Imagine Heaven. And it is a great search and dig. He himself studied 1,000 near-death experiences through all of the good and the bad and tried to pull out the constants that were in all of them. And he takes them and he uses about 120 of these in the book. And then he also takes scripture from the Bible and shows you in scripture how these all tie together. Just very, very intriguing. So if you're interested in more, you know, thoughts on this, research on this Bible study on this, this is a good book to grab. You can get it wherever books are sold. So he's a great, great guy, though. Great pastor in Austin, Gateway Church. So grab that book. Hebrews 9:27 is destined to die once. It's appointed unto man and woman once to die. So we're all going to die at some point. And so we often think it's going to be someone else. The younger you are, the more invincible you are, right? You think, well, that's never going to happen. You know, that's so many decades away, and I got so much to my life to live. You just feel like you can do anything, you're invincible. And then the older you get, you go, man, it's really not that far away. It's kind of at some point you have that midlife crisis of like, I'm on the downhill side of this. I'm going to see death sooner than later. And over the last 15 years that this church has existed, I calculated this week, I have a book that I write all these things. I'm very old-fashioned in some ways, and I have this blog I do in every funeral that I do in there, and the date and who they were. And I calculated, I counted it up, just over 40 funerals in the last 15 years. And so that's like 2 or 3 a year, about average. And so that means this year we'll have a couple of funerals. In this church. We don't know who it's going to be. Could be you. Turn to your neighbor. Look at them. How do they look? It could be me. I could be the next one. Death has no prejudice against age, against skin color, against how much money you have in the bank. Death doesn't care about anything according to the way you've lived, how much you eat organic food, how much jogging you do. Death comes to everybody. And I've had babies, funerals, and funerals of babies that were born, that teenage, cancer, old age, diabetes, I mean, all different types. I don't know who in here it will be. Maybe it's 8 o'clock, maybe somebody in here, maybe me, maybe y'all be coming to my, I don't know. I just know this, that it's happening. It will happen. It's a part of the world that we live in. Are you ready? I read about a tombstone. It's over 100 years old. Tombstone said, "Paul's stranger when you pass me by, as you are now, so once was I. As I am now, so you will be. So prepare for death and follow me." Somebody came along later and read that. We don't know who it was, but they scratched this on the tomb. Not know. Where are you going after you die? There are two different destinations. At Promised Land, we believe that when you die in this body, that that's not the end, that it's a transition to another place. We call that eternity, because eternity will never end. Eternity means it keeps going, and it's just impossible to wrap your head around not ever ending, that eternity keeps going and going and going and going. And my pastor used to say, if a dove were to fly, just gently, you know, sweep its wing across the moon and then fly back to the earth, by the time the moon became the size of a BB, it would just be breakfast in heaven. Just trying to, it's forever. It's forever. And it's hard to wrap our head around, but we know that life, this place where we are, this realm, it's not the end. We believe what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, 7, has not been raised from the dead, then your faith is useless and you're still guilty of your sins. Last week, we celebrated the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Died believing in Christ or lost. In life, we are more to be pitied than anyone in the world. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. Period. Love that sentence. Let me read it one more time. In fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. He is the first, somebody say, of the first of all who have died. Jesus was not the first to die, but resurrected from the dead to be in a heavenly body, never to die again. We know he raised Lazarus from the dead. He was going to die in his body again. He was from the dead. He was not going to pass away again. He was alive and risen in a new body. That's awesome. But what the scripture says is even better. He's the first to be resurrected. And what this is saying is that all those who believe in him will also be resurrected. So we die and our spirits go to be with the Lord in paradise. Our bodies go into the grave, but But there will be a day when Jesus comes back and our bodies that have been buried will be resurrected. A perfect body that never, or morphine, it will be fit. I mean, just think about whatever perfect body it is that you want, that's what you're going to have. You can eat all the chips and queso that you want and never die from it. Just unending bulk. Keep it coming. Keep it coming. Just a flawless existence. So what will the actual place be like? What will heaven be like? This place that we're going to live forever and ever and ever. The you know, majority of Americans believe things about heaven that are not true. They learn them from books, from movies, from cartoons or whatever. And it doesn't come from the Bible. So reading the Bible is very important, and having an open mind from the Bible instead of secular ideas of heaven. And next week, we're going to talk about another destination besides heaven. And it's the same is true about that, about hell. There's so many things we understand about hell that we've learned from Dante's Inferno or movies or other books or whatever that may not be scriptural. So come back next week and I want to share that truth. But today I want to talk to you about heaven. And is it going to be like one unending church service? I've heard people say, like, we're just going to be worshiping God forever. And our only context for that is church. And I'm here to tell you good news. It's not going to be one unending church service. Thank God for that. Kids are thankful for that. Pastors are thankful for that. Oh, man. It's not going to be like that. Are we just going to be floating around on clouds all the time with harps like Cupid, wearing white robes and just floating around on clouds? People are like, why would I want to do that forever and ever and ever? That's so boring. Far Side is one of my favorite cartoons, and check out this Far Side cartoon from years ago. Here he is. He got to heaven. Wish I'd brought a magazine. Just that's what, because that's what people think heaven is. That you're just floating around. You got your wings. You got your halo. You're just floating around in a white robe. That's not what heaven. It's going to be like, now you might be able to fly, you may have wings, you may have a halo, but you're not just going to be sitting on a cloud the whole time. Bible, heaven and earth will be perfect again. And I want to make sure you know about the earth part of heaven. The Bible is very clear that the resurrection of Jesus Christ is so great that he redeems not only heaven but earth as well. Not just an individual person is saved, plucked from this earth. The earth is thrown away and burned up. And this person floats away to some other place, the kingdom far, far away. But the Bible doesn't say that. The Bible does say that there will be a refiner's fire that will burn away the impurities and the brokenness of this planet. But that it will be a new heaven and a new earth. 2 Peter 3:13, but we look forward to the new heavens and new earth as he promised, a world filled with God's righteousness. And so we have a type and shadow of this when we look at Jerusalem and Mount Zion. The Old Testament talks about Mount Zion, people going up to Jerusalem to worship, and we hear about the new heavens and the new earth. If you really want to get a good picture of what this is going to look like, we go back to the very beginning and look at the Garden of Eden, and we see what was life like before sin. Well, there was trees, there were animals, there were grass. Did y'all hear me? There's animals up there in heaven. There's in the new heaven, the new earth, there are animals. That's great. I know many of y'all are very curious. Will Fido be in heaven? There's animal tables in heaven. There are meals, food. When we get up, there's so many things about in here. So Adam and Eve were there. There were many parts of the world that we have today. I mean, if you look at the world today, you can see pieces of the Garden of Eden. You can see sunsets and sunrises. That's a piece of heaven that we see. And the ocean and beaches and, I mean, even Central Texas got some amazing landscapes. It's just gorgeous. You go down to the springs and the river. I mean, we see little glimpses. Heaven is going to be that times a most amazing place, heaven and earth with no separation. Amazing. And heaven will be in the same place as this new heaven. There's even Eden before that work is a product of sin. The Bible does say that work is now going to be hard, and you're going to toil and sweat, and it's going to be difficult, but supposed to be hard. It's like childbirth, the same way. Childbirth is very difficult now. Before the fall was not that way. And so there's some things about heaven that we're still going to have. So we'll have tasks, and it'll be wonderful tasks, things that you're good at, things that you want to do. Procrastination, it'll be a wonderful thing. You can still have coffee, but you don't need it for energy. So think about the glorious parts of this planet, and it's going to be that, but better. Way better. Can't even describe it. In fact, many of these, when they come back, the common theme from all of them is that you can't describe what heaven is like in our terms. It is different than the three dimensions that we see things in. We see things in height, depth, and width. But in heaven, there are more dimensions than three, and there's more senses than five. In fact, many of these people say that it's like you have 50 senses. That's amazing. That's awesome. Here's another important thing about heaven. You will finally know why in heaven. And that's part of the plague of the earth today. We don't have any control of God. Why did that happen? There's a pastor, Jack Hine, which leads a blinded eye, always cries, tell me why. I've caught a fiance's burning tears and heard her lonely cry. She held an unused wedding gown and shouted, Pastor, why? Me to die, then look into his daughter's face and mutely whisper, why? I've gazed into the sky. Though mom and dad have gone away, my pastor will know why. So I tiptoed to my father's throne, so timid and so shy, to say, Dear God, some of your own are wanting to know why. I heard him say so tenderly, Their eyes I'll gladly dry, they'll know why. I will trust my God to do what's best and wait to find out why. Someday you will sit down in a theater seat, I'm thinking, with a big widescreen, high-definition projector that works flawlessly, and you will see perfectly your life and all the things that have happened, and you'll go, oh, okay, I get it. I understand what's going on. We will understand better by and by. That's what the old song says. I remember in 2000, it had to have been like 2008 or 2007, there was a little girl in the old building. When this building didn't exist over there. She came to Sunday school. She was 2 years old. The Sunday school teacher said it was a great day. She was running around playing. And then that night, she had a really bad headache. And her mom just felt like she needed to take her to the hospital. Took her to Dell Children's Hospital. And I remember going up there beside her mom and her grandmother and her uncle and her aunt away at 2 years old. Had just been to church that morning. And just, there's nothing you can say. There's nothing that you can do. We just stood around that bed and cried. And just said, you know, someday we'll know. We have no, how could this be right? But here's something we know. There's right. It's going to be reading our mom, Crystal, and our grandma, Hazel. And they're going to be going to reveal. Meantime, here we are in between the reality of the death. And someday we'll see her again. And just trusting God. We'll know why someday, and I can't wait, you know, for that moment. How could that happen? So, you will finally know why in heaven. Here's another thing. There's no suffering, 18th verse, yet what we suffer now is nothing compared to the glory He will reveal to us later. For all creation is waiting eagerly for that future day when God will reveal who His children really are. Against its will, all creation has been subjected to God's curse, but with eager hope. This is that scripture about the earth being regenerated. With eager hope, the creation looks forward to the day when it will join. The earth will join with God's children in glorious freedom from death and decay. This curse that's been on the planet since the first sin of Adam and Eve, that first sentence of this scripture, look what it says. For yet we suffer, what we suffer now is nothing compared to the glory. So I want everybody here just think about the level of suffering that you've been involved with throughout your life. Everybody in here has a different level of suffering that you've been connected with in your life. Some of you have suffering up here. Some of you have suffering, maybe not as much, but we all have suffering in this earth because it's just a part of the broken planet that we live on. But that scripture brings such beautiful news that the glory of eternity is going to be greater than the weight of the suffering. So much more. It says it can't even compare the glory that we're going to be in. It's not. Then the earth that you're in is going to be uncomparable. You cannot even put them side by side. It's so amazing. There's no suffering in heaven. We will know why in heaven. Your body is going to be perfect. Heaven and earth will be perfect again. But here's the deal. I want to make sure everybody knows. The path to heaven is not walked by everybody. And just like I said on Easter Sunday morning, we can't just say, I want to go to heaven and go there ourselves. There has to be a path and a gate to go in. And this is what the good news of Jesus Christ is. You don't have to work the path and figure out the path and, you know, beat down your whole life and, or maybe like earn enough to pay your way in by money or good deeds or whatever. Here's the amazing, powerful truth. Jesus Christ is the path. That's so amazing. So if you want to get into heaven, you just got to know Jesus. He's got the key. John 10:9-10 says, "And yes, I am the gate. Through me will be saved. They will come and go freely and find good pastures." If you're a sheep, you want to find good pasture, right? Good pasture is the grass is perfectly green. There's a little pond, the fresh water to drink from. The sun is shining. The weather's perfect. The shepherd is standing there guarding you. You got everything you need. Protection, provision, family. The flock is right there with you. This is what he's saying. You want to find good pasture, then here's how. Go through me. Go through me, Jesus. The thief's purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus says, my purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. That life begins today. And you don't have to wait until you die to experience heaven. You can experience the amazing salvation and Garden of Eden experience on the inside of you beginning today. Through the gate. Through Jesus. Here's the truth. We all want to live this perfect life. We all want to live a good life. We want to make it just right, do the right things, say the right things, and we keep messing it up. And you're going to keep messing it up until you do die. But the good news is that Jesus lived this life and he didn't mess it up. He lived it perfectly, flawlessly, without sin, without error. And his offer to everybody in here today is if you will trust the work for you, come through me, come through the work I did for you, then you're going to find good pasture. You're going to be with Jesus. And that's really the best part of heaven. Jesus said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. You can't go there now, but where I am going, there you will be also. So this is the best part of heaven. I want you to think the worst part of our, or maybe not the worst part of our planet, but you know, one of the lowest common denominators of our planet is pavement, right? You go out here and like somebody's like, I'm going to cut you a piece of our parking lot. I want to give it to you. You'd be like, that's nasty. That's got oil and it has no value. Nobody wants pavement. Pavement's the lowest common thing. In heaven, gold is pavement. The lowest thing about heaven is gold. So if gold is the dirtiest thing, that's the grossest in heaven, think about how amazing everything else is. But the most amazing thing about heaven is not the gold, the mansions, or the streams, or the flawless landscape. The best thing about heaven is that you're going to be with Jesus forever and ever and ever. That's the best part of heaven. You'll get to see him face to face. I believe it's going to be like this. There's no lines in heaven. I mean, if you think about it, all the billions of people on the planet that have lived forever and ever and ever, like, when am I ever going to get to see Jesus? I mean, this has been like 10,000 years. It's not going to be everybody's like going to get lapped and just hanging out with Jesus all the time. God's omnipotent, omnipresent. He's able to. So just being with him forever and ever, the purest of love, the purest of peace, and just being in his presence, the one who gave his life for you, being able to touch the scars and the nail prints in his hands, and just being able to talk to him and be with him forever and ever and ever. Would you pray with me now? Let's go to God right now. Let's talk to him. Would you just close your eyes and bow your heads with me and ask yourself that question, you know, am I ready to die? if I'm the next one up, if it's my funeral that's next at Promised Land, am I ready for that? Am I ready to go to the next realm? And if your first thought is, man, I'm not, I need to do better, I need to try harder, then I have good news for you. That's not what God has to offer you. He doesn't have heaven for you if you figure this thing out and you do better. The good news is today. You don't have to go to class 6 months first. You don't have to pay a certain amount of money in the offering plate. No, none of that. Surrendering your life to Him right now is a simple thing to do when it comes to just, you know, the practical parts of it. It's simple. You just talk to Him. The reality is that it's an eternal life change that He's going to begin in you. He's going to do the work. He's going to not only forgive you of your sin today, but He's going to begin a cleansing of your heart and a renewal of your heart and a renewal of your mind beginning today on the inside. But you're approved right now. You're accepted right now the way you are. He loves you the way you are. Would you just jump in on this? Or maybe you've already prayed a prayer like this, but you just want to pray it again. I mean, I just want to pray it again every day. It's something we should pray again every day. Let's pray this with me. Just say, Lord, I come to You in the name of Jesus. And I surrender my life to You. I give You my mind. Please forgive me what I've done that are not of You. I need Your help. I need Your healing. I trust in You, Jesus, as my Savior. I trust in You, Jesus, as the gate. I want to come through You, Jesus. I trust in the work You've done. Thank You for dying for me. Please fill me with Your love. Please fill me with Your Spirit. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.